Marguerite, sit down. I need to take my belt off. She trying to fly away. Miss Fanny thought you lost a feather. It's a leaf over here on the floor. I love each and every one of you. I tell you, we just have so much fun. But I want to tell you that I'm sorry that I can't speak for you today. I don't have much left, and I'd like to keep the little bit of God so I can be well next week. So, now.
Oh, me.
So I called George yesterday, mid-afternoon, and he said, oh, man. He said, I'm still driving. I said, are you going to have enough time to prepare something? He said, I got you, brother. I got you. So I thank you for standing behind me at a time I didn't want to. I just kept waiting and waiting. But when we had to go make those doctor visits with Nicholas, I knew that I probably ought not to be here and preach also. So, brother, I thank you so much for what you do. And let's welcome Brother George Wells.
Thank you. All right. I got to keep an eye on that clock up there. So that way I don't get into it. Hey, look at that. I got my first amen.
It starts right there.
That's right. If you would, take your Bible and turn to Romans 5. And we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 5. And then we're going to go to John 3. We're going to be talking about today, born into God's family. We've been singing all morning, being washed in the blood. He loved you ere you knew it. And that's true. Before you and I ever knew it, he loved us. Because the Bible says that he knew us before he created the world. And everything that's in the world and so forth. So if you would, please stand as we read this scripture. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who?
Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And what? And we what?
Rejoice.
Wow. I bet you guys were rejoicing last week.
Yes.
I just had to, I had to work, but I wished I could have been here. As you lifted up your hands and praise the Lord and rejoice. Rejoice, why? Because of the salvation, right? Because he purchased you. He redeemed you. He redeemed you and me. Of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Oh, me. And also knowing the tribulations work of patience. We don't like that. But patient work experience hope, and hope maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in what?
In our hearts.
In our hearts, right? Come on, y'all. If you've been born again, the love of God should be shed abroad in your hearts. You and me, a witness. Abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Father, I pray that you would bless your word. Lord, I pray that I will be a conduit of your Holy Spirit, Lord. You speak to your people. Have your way with them, Lord, and with me, Lord. And I thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do and what you have done already. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You see all this here, if you look at verse 5 there, in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So my question is, who is the Spirit? This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the Spirit, weren't we? Bad spirits, yeah. We're going to be talking about the one and true Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. You know what's so great? When the Lord saves you, He comes and dwells within you and me. And it's because He sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within your heart and my heart, so that the things that would be impossible in the Bible is possible through Him. Let me go on. So the Holy Spirit has three marks of personality. Did you know that? Y'all looking at me? No. Maybe you did. He's got knowledge. Do you believe He's got feelings? Yeah. Mm-hmm, He does. And He's got a will. He has knowledge, for He is the Spirit of wisdom, it says in Ephesians 1:17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He has feelings. Also in Ephesians 4:30, it says, for it's possible to grieve Him. You can grieve Him. How many times do you and I probably grieve the Holy Spirit? And how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? By not obeying what the Lord has commanded us to do.
Amen.
How about telling witnesses somebody? I'm sure He's probably nudged on your heart and says, witness to that person there. Or say something, or maybe invite him out to your church. What's kind of neat, when I talk about my church, the first thing I want to ask you is, what denomination? To me, in a sense, it doesn't really matter. But what I am interested in, for them to come out, you just come out. You come and sit in the congregation. You listen to the messages being preached, and then you make a decision from there. Not that it's such and such denomination and so forth. But by us not being a witness, or maybe we have some sin in our lives, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And He has a will, for He's the active executive of the plan and the purposes of God. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12:11. If you want to look that up, it says, but all these worked that one and His selfsame Spirit divided to every man severally, so He wills. So, how does God give Himself to us? I'm sure a lot of you guys can tell me this morning, right? The Holy Spirit does many different works in all who believe. So the Bible teaches we are born of the Spirit, we're indwelt of the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit, and we're sealed by the Spirit. And we may be filled with the Spirit and be anointed with the Spirit. So the first and most important thing is we must be born of the Spirit into the family of God, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In Ephesians 2:3, it talks about those who have not been born again or the children of wrath. And they do by nature what comes natural, because they are lost. And as the Bible, they're blind. They're pictured as the blind, the people that can't see, and also those who have leprosy. And those are the people who are on the outside. But it's the Spirit of God who opens the eyes, opens the ears to hear, who gives, which I'm hoping this morning, to fill my mouth with the Spirit of His Word, to speak to your hearts. Because I can sit up here and I can read a bunch of things off this piece of paper. If the Spirit of God is not in it, nothing's going to happen this morning. You go out and go eat your lunch and be all happy and slap each other on the back and say, we'll try again next week. But we want God's Spirit to work here and convict us of our sins. You say, Brother George, I don't have any sins. Well, God says, that ain't true. You're a liar because you made God a liar. So in order to become the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, in Galatians 3:26, for ye are also the children of God by faith in Christ, or Jesus Christ. You see, there's a common error out there. If you sit there and you watch TV, and you listen to like Montel or Oprah, whatever her name is, she'll tell you, there is many ways to God. And how in the world that you people can be so narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way? How about it? Is it true? Is Jesus the only way? He said, I am the way, the truth, and life.
Nobody comes to the Father
except by me. Amen. Except by me. And it's just like when we were singing those songs, man, your heart should have been flying in the air, because I know mine was. Because I think about what Jesus did for me. And what did Jesus do for you? Guess what, folks? He had to hang on a cross for you and me.
Yes.
Regardless how we think about how we were before we were saved, He's still the Son of God. The only begotten Son had to hang on a cross to purchase your redemption so that your sins could be forgiven. And just as we read in the Scripture, so the wrath of God would not be against you and me anymore. Because when He looks at you and me, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So there's two families. People believe that there's a universal fatherhood. And always lead to God. Or the Bible teaches that there are two families and two fatherhoods. Are there not? How many times did the Pharisees argue with the Lord? And they were talking about how He was illegitimate. But yet, He says, you knew not my Father, but your father is the devil. And how they tried, you know, to belittle Him and said He was casting out the demons by the power of Satan. But there's only two families. You belong to the God of this world, which is Satan, or you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that you know. That you know for sure. And it's my prayer that you know for sure. Because I remember a long time ago, I didn't know. But you do know if you've been touched by the Lord. You do know. You know it within your heart. Men are born into this world as children of wrath, of disobedience, and some of them become the children of the devil, and sure enough they are. Jesus Christ said, I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father, which he was indicating Satan. That's John 8:38. So the Pharisees answer and says, we are not born of fornication. Here it is right here. We're not born of fornication. We have our Father, even God, and that's in 8:41, of John 8:41. But Jesus' answer said, if God were your Father, now think about this now, if God were your Father, you would know me. You would know me. You would know me. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I have proceeded forth and came from God, and you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. Whew, what an annunciation against the Pharisees. Here was the religious institution of that time. And man, they were big into righteousness. And especially when the Lord used to talk about how they used to pray. Oh, they loved just to get themselves in all nice, clean, white linen with the phylacteries on their side and on their forehead, as it says in the Ten Commandments. And they used to love to pray with their hands in the air. Oh, God, I'm so glad I'm not like that publican over there. Not a Republican, but a publican. Got me? They missed it. It went over their head. But I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not an adulterer. I don't steal. I tithe, Lord. I tithe. I give a tenth of everything. I'm glad I'm not like him. The publican said, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. A sinner, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Yes. And the Lord said, he got up, justified. He went home. What about the Pharisee? He wasn't. His self-righteousness. And we have that today in our churches. In our churches, we have so much of that today. But let me move on. Let me move on. My time is running out. Man, time goes by fast, Pastor. I need to hurry up. He says, how then how do you get into one family, out of one family into the other? And this is, how is one born again of the Spirit? So your Bibles, hopefully, are turned to John chapter 3. And it should be a familiar story. You know what it is, right? Who is it? Nicodemus, a Pharisee. In John 3, verse 1, he says, a ruler of the Jews came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus' concept of God was wrong. Just like so many people today, their concept of God is wrong. If it ain't the God of the Bible, it's wrong. It's wrong. And they, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament, he was full of wrath and fury. But the God of the New Testament, he's sedated. He's not the same as the God in the Old Testament. Really? My Bible says that he never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he will be the same tomorrow. He never changes. We are under grace right now. We're under grace. Praise God for that. And he's long-suffering. Especially with some of us. A lot of us there are some of us here that can say that we could be in the devil's hell right now. And we would have busted it wide open with no problem. but by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Let me move on. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hundreds of teachers have come from God before Christ. Think about it. Hundreds of teachers have come. And thousands have come from God since Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ was certainly not a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach. Think about how many times when they were asking him, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. He says, how long have I been with you? How long have I been with you? What you see in me is what the Father does. So what we see in the gospel is what the Father is, our Heavenly Father. He says, wherefore I give unto you understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And this is why Nicodemus had such a low view of the person of Christ. He was still a child of Adam, and the Holy Spirit had not yet enabled him to perceive that Jesus is God. So Jesus Christ told him that he needed to be born again. Further truth that Nicodemus was not saved lies in the fact that he reacted to Christ's words in natural terms. When the Lord had told him that you must be born again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's John 3:5. Literally, water and breath. These are symbols. Symbols. Water being the Word, and breath the Holy Spirit. Symbols. Jesus always spoke using symbols and parables. He's like when he used the symbol of his body being the temple. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it up. And they said, what? It's taken us 40 years to build this place. But he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be raised up. When Jesus spoke of his birth, Nicodemus was thinking, obstetricians, thinking about babies. When he says, because Nicodemus said, well, I'm an old man. How am I going to be able to enter into my mother's womb again to be born again? What are you talking about? I mean, people honestly say things like that when you witness to them. Well, how in the world, what are you talking about being born again? Is that some kind of crazy cult talking about being born again? I mean, he's being honest. He's being honest. I mean, how can you know? How did you know? Unless the Spirit of God revealed it to you or to me. He says, can a man enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? He asks. So under the symbolism of new birth, the Lord was teaching that a man cannot save himself any more than he can bring himself to life to be born the first time. Isn't that right? Did you have anything to do with your birth? Huh? Come on, y'all.
No, not really.
Come on, wake up.
I was stubborn then, too.
You had no part in it. None whatsoever. And the same thing. He says, in James, let's see, any more than he can bring himself into the world. He says, in James, it talks to this of his own will, he begat he us with the word of truth, and that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. That's James 1:18. I'm moving quickly, y'all. The Lord taught Nicodemus that the Holy Spirit was the divine agent in the work of salvation. In 1 Peter 1:23, this is what Peter says on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We who have been Christians supernaturally are passive recipients of new life, of salvation wrought in us by the effective work of God with the Holy Spirit. He first plants within our heart the seed of saving faith. That begins there. Yes. And how does faith come? By what? How does faith come, church?
By hearing.
Hearing of what?
The word of God.
That's right. That's right. You get a gold star, Fanny. Saving faith. Faith is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. Then the Holy Spirit pierces the saving faith or into the seed of the word, and from that contact of life with life, and there is wrought within us a new life which has no connection with ourselves by nature. You know what? It's an amazing thing. A farmer. Those seeds. There's life in those seeds. But you can't get anything from them seeds unless they're planted. Right? Am I right? Come on, y'all help me out here. You plant that seed. Well, by the grace of God, after you plant that seed, can you do anything about it? There ain't much you can do, is there? You have to rely on God, don't you? To send the rain, send the sun. If he sends too much rain, what happens? It gets washed away, don't it? Or it rots. Not enough rain and the sun's too much, they burn up. But he sends the rain. And that little seed, when it comes out, produces so many other seeds. You know what the Lord said? He talked about how the seeds go in the different grounds of the heart and how they produce some 30, some 60, some 100. God did not use anything he saw when he created Paul within him. God did not use anything in Simon when he created Peter. Thank you, Lord. God did not use anything in Jacob when he created Israel within him. God did not use anything of the Adamic nature when he begat us from the dead. That is why we can say, if any man is in Christ, he's a what? Come on, y'all. He's a new creation.
New creation.
Woo!
Yes. Leave that old behind.
That's right. You are a new creation. I'm a new creation. Praise God.
Amen.
And it should make you excited. Because you are no longer dead. The wrath of God is no longer upon you. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sin. You can worship God freely. Like he says, you can come boldly before the throne of grace.
Yes.
To bring your petitions. And all of your heart, you can lay it before him. And God is your Father.
Amen.
Bought by his precious son. His precious son, y'all. I always get the picture. People in the Sunday school class, and maybe you've all forgot about it. I can just picture when Jesus came down here, it was like coming to a hog pen. Y'all know what a hog pen is, don't y'all? Huh? It stinks on it, and it's sloppy, and the old nasty hog going there, and you got a sloppy old nasty slop. You got to walk in the mud, don't you? Well, think about when the Son of God came from glory, where there is no sin, there is no impurity, where he's holy, when the angels said, holy, holy, holy. He came down here, y'all. He came down here. He was born of a baby, of a virgin, a baby. And he grew up in stature and wisdom. Anointed by his Father, by the Holy Spirit, he was baptized. And he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he went out to be tempted, just like you and me are tempted. But yet, he was without sin. But he came here to redeem you and me when we put our faith and our trust in him. The moment that you put your faith and your trust in him, you were redeemed. Bought back. Bought from the devil. Bought from the God of this world. And why would you want to turn around and serve him again after you've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ? Or me, for that matter. It just amazes me. It's beyond my comprehension, my thoughts, why he would do such a thing like that. But he did. He let them smack him on his face. They spit on him. And they beat him. They beat him to a pulp. And they made him carry his cross. And then hung him on a cross. To purchase your salvation. My salvation. You know, a lot of people say, well, that was the end. We put him in a grave. We got the Roman soldiers, the centurions out there. We set a guard on it, and we set our seal on it. Ain't nobody going to steal his body, huh? But on that third day, hallelujah, the earth trembled, the rock moved. Women, y'all, women went out to the grave. Where was the men? Where's the men today? Where's the men? The women went out to the grave and he was gone. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? They said. He bought your salvation, my salvation. And I know, everyone is different than you're unique. And praise God for that. But man, we ought to get excited for what Jesus did. And guess what, folks? Whether you believe or not, I believe God's coming back soon. And what do you think we're going to be doing up there in heaven? You think we're going to be sitting in the pew going like this? Oh, no. You know, if you read in the Bible, it says they were shouting, folks. Shouting! They ain't saying, oh, me. Amen. Amen. No, they're shouting. Why? Because they were redeemed. They were redeemed, bought with the blood of the Lamb. And they're singing a song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And praise our Lord our God. For the Lamb was slain. The Holy Spirit is given them regeneration. And our new life is the work of his divine beginning. So my question to you. I'm pretty sure everyone is here. Is, are you born into God's family? Is there new life? Have the old things passed away? Not to say that you ain't going to struggle, folks. That's just the way it is. You got the old Adamic nature still with you until the day that we are redeemed before the Lord, and we get our bodies, our new bodies. But it don't mean that you intentionally practice sin. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you and I praise you. How wonderful you are, and I thank you, Lord. Bless your people, Lord, as they go out. Keep them safe throughout this week. And Lord, that they may be back here again when the doors are open. May they come back rejoicing. May they come back with a report that you have healed them and touched their body. Maybe they'll come back with a report that they have spoken to someone and they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and are born again. But Lord, whatever it may be, we will praise you and we will give you the honor. We will give you the thanks. This we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ.